Okay, end of war. I mean, we could. Include this story, or I mean a story inspired by the story that when this big country over there in the West gets involved in that little one, there in the middle Chihuahua jumps on the bigger dog. We're talking Israeli realm. And all this political background came there just to show how complicated and what a different world is there behind the screen. So they have to make a deal with Iran that they can fly their glorious bombers and throw something which they claim to be bunker busters, but which aren't really, and the others, because it's a waste, because they won't go that deep anyway. Why should they win? I know we have the Trump character. I mean, he's perfect to use in a book like this, because I completely, I mean, just use that character, make something out of him. Put a gang there. And we look at it from the viewpoint of that gang there sitting around the table. Maybe we still have a rake there. I think it should still be there. Thank you. Yeah. And this idea of just there's something to bring in there. Yeah. I mean, we call this story based on a real story, and what that means is that we're inspired by a real story, but we can also explore alternative outcomes and choices and plots depending on what people decide to do. So here they are, that team there that came into power in that super duper big empire nation there. And they realize the world is starting to shake. War here and there. And they realize they are completely out of their league. None of them really has, well, maybe a couple has required statesmanship abilities and knowledge and so on. The president doesn't. But he's a reality show actor, rich man's son. New York hustler. So he's kind of street smart in that way. So each one has their ability. And they sit there in that room and we follow them in that room. Very personally. And then we can follow the others in other rooms in other countries. But then, and this is interesting actually, how the wars today are carried out more and more. That here two countries are at war with each other, so what do? They gather as many missiles and drones and things as possible. As quick, super sonic, whatever as possible. And it's all about that, making as many of those as possible. And then you need to make a lot of them to take down the ones coming in from the enemy. So it's a big technological enterprise, a big industry flourishing. As usual, some people, they support the war because they make money on that. Not on the super duper new, fantastic, super expensive weapons, but the less expensive missiles and drones. And then they have this super duper precision coming from the GPS and all that, of course, the satellites, which allows them to sit comfortably, hopefully, in their home countries, of course, bunkers, things like that, but still remote. Push buttons and send missiles that destroy strategic sites, like just now I read the Iranians have destroyed some energy facility that provides 60% of the Israeli energy. And they also hit, because the others did, them research labs, which are of course used for weapon production or something like that. So they are very expertly, first of all, having and getting information from these intelligence services like the CIA and whatever is there on the other side, Mossad, and I don't know what the Iranians are. We just use them here, change names, I guess. And so we see them there, one side shooting missiles on that other side, bam, 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 bam. Destroyed so much of the infrastructure needed to keep that country, first of all, their military industry and facilities going. Of course, that's what it start with, making them crippled militarily. But then also energy in general. So of course, people in general suffer. But the positive thing is here that, well, out of driven by cost effectiveness, they have learned to very expertly hit strategic targets and avoid civilians as much as possible, because it doesn't make you popular, because everything is being filmed by video cameras and phones and things. So if you hit a civilian target, then you got the whole world against you. So yes, here they are, pushing the buttons, destroying each other's military facilities until, well, the money runs out, because it is a costly thing. Now, they can roll out their cannons and tanks and infantry. We're full frontal. Confrontation. Of invasion. But that's not really so useful anymore, because it just kills a lot of soldiers and it makes the leaders unpopular, because mothers losing their sons and their husbands, and we know that story, so they're just pounding. And it all becomes an economic war, because you need money and technology to produce all these weapons, and then the others are destroying those. So it kind of turns out in a funny and unexpected way. They just destroy their own, each other's weapons and military facilities and high-tech stuff, and there you have countries that wham landed on the ground again and need to start growing potatoes and care for each other, the people, because that's what people do. And those leaders, they can fight each other as much as they like. And of course then they also learn to assassinate each other. So you can put all that in the story. It's quite interesting actually.